You're listening to WWBC, COCO, Melbourne, Titusville, 1510 AM, as well as W234BI, COCO, Rockledge, and W264AS, Rockledge, Melbourne, and Palm Bay, 100.7 FM.
We're not just saved from, we're saved for, and we're saved to. Getting the scope of redemption is an essential ingredient to living a Christian life in this cultural moment. For the Colson Center, I'm John Stone Street. This is Breakpoint. The theme of this past year's Wilberforce Weekend event was life redeemed. Though many Christians settle for a kind of reductionistic view of salvation, in which eternity is secured but the rest of life is left untouched, the Bible presents something much more holistic. And to explore salvation from this broader point of view, the Wilberforce Weekend Life Redeemed event was framed around three questions. What are we saved from? What are we saved to? And what are we saved for? Rachel Gilson is the author of a fascinating book that's titled Born Again This Way, Coming Out, Coming to Faith, and What Comes Next. She spoke specifically on something that the Bible describes we're saved from, confusion. Here's a portion of Rachel's compelling message.
As I started having romantic and sexual relationships with other young women, I thought, oh, this is where home is for me. So I got to Yale and I was like, oh no. The girl I was dating at the time, well, she left me for this guy. I was basically dumped into the pit of an identity crisis. And never once did I think, oh, I should turn to Jesus, because I didn't believe in Jesus. So a little while after that, I happened to be in the room of, I could call her a friend. She was more like an acquaintance, a non-practicing Catholic. And I remember standing in her doorway. She had a bookshelf next to her doorway. And one of my favorite hobbies is to look at people's bookshelves and judge them, you know? So I'm checking it out, looking up and down. There was a book on this shelf, the spine read Mere Christianity by C.S. Lewis. And so I thought, ooh, I really want to read that book, but I was too embarrassed to ask my friend for it, so I just stole the book. So I was sitting in the library soon after that, reading Mere Christianity. And while I was reading it one day, I was just overwhelmed with the realization that God exists. I was sitting there, and it was clear to me, suddenly, I don't remember where, what chapter I was in, what page, anything like that, but I was just overwhelmed with the reality of God. It was like I could sense God's holiness, even though I didn't know that vocabulary. And the only thing I felt was fear. It's like, I'm arrogant, I'm cruel, I'm sexually immoral, I lie, I cheat, I'm reading a stolen book. Like, it's clear all of the chips are in the guilty category, right? I had no confusion at that moment either. But really quickly with that, I also understood that part of the reason Jesus had come was to place himself as a barrier between God's wrath and me, and that the only way to be safe was to run towards him, not away from him. It was lovely, but it also was really clear to me really soon in my walk with the Lord that my attraction to other women wasn't going anywhere. And the Lord kept pushing on me at this time, like, hey, if you're only willing to obey when you both understand and agree, maybe you're actually serving yourself as God and not me. Probably many of you experience other places where you feel confused because there's something the Lord says and it doesn't seem to line up with you intuitively. Or there's maybe some sin that you love that you don't know how to part with. And I would just say again and again, the only place of safety is found in him and in his word. And that he promises by his word and by his spirit, by his people, to lead us out of confusion and to lead us into love and joy and peace and patience and to the obedience of faith that he's calling us to.
That was Rachel Gilson, author of a book called Born Again This Way. To hear more of this talk and other speakers from this year's Wilberforce Weekend event, Life Redeemed, go to wilberforceweekend.org. For the Colson Center, I'm John Stone Street with Breakpoint.
Today on The Winning Walk with Dr. Ed Young.
Can you imagine such heartlessness? Can you imagine such racism? Can you imagine such extremity that went on in a land that did not know the Lord God and set about killing and destroying a people, putting down a people, eliminating a people, stagnating their growth? Can you imagine such a place ever existing on the earth as that?
The truth is, we must defend the lives of the unborn. Welcome to The Winning Walk with Dr. Ed Young. Today, Dr. Young begins his message, Unseen Heroines, He examines why abortion is such a horrible blight on our nation and shows you why you must stand to protect the unborn. You don't want to miss it. And The Winning Walk begins in a moment. Before we get to today's message, we want to equip you to win the culture war that's raging around you by sending you Dr. Young's 7-message CD series, Culture Clash. This powerful series prepares you to stand strong in God's Word in the face of increasing opposition on so many fronts in today's mixed-up culture. We'll send you a copy of Culture Clash as thanks for your gift to help keep the proven truth of God's Word reaching you and people all over the world through this program. So call today to request your copy when you give. Call 1-800-350-WALK, 1-800-350-9255. We want to help you walk the winning walk with Christ every single day. So we've packed our website with practical resources to help you apply God's proven truth to your life, including books, Bible studies, and audio and video files. You can also sign up for Dr. Young's email devotional and even request personal prayer. So visit winningwalk.org for more of the proven truth and personal support you need. That's winningwalk.org. You can also follow your favorite program on Twitter. Our username is Winning Walk. That's Winning Walk. How has the Winning Walk impacted your life? Share your story with us by going to winningwalk.org/mystory. Now here's Dr. Ed Young with today's message, Unseen Heroines.
I recently met a couple and he told me what he did in his vocation. And I looked at her and she says, I'm only a mother. I wanted to take her to one side and say what every mother here knows. There's no higher calling or more difficult challenge in all the world more sacred than to be a mom. What do you have to do to be a mother? You have to be a cheerleader, a counselor, a lover to your husband. You have to be wise. You have to be a physician. You have to name everything you want to name in all the vocational areas, and I tell you, a mother develops or needs to have all those qualities because you are the heart and the life and the essential evidence of every family that is a home. Moms, we honor you. You are the highest realm of blessing to all the world. Thank you for sacrifice. Thank you for so many unseen, unknown things you've done. And nobody will ever know but God, but you can see it as it comes out through your sons and daughters. And that is the wonderful blessing and the unbelievable sacrificial challenge of all these mothers who are now standing. Let me pray for you. Father, not just on Mother's Day, but every time we stop and reflect, not that all these mothers are perfect, not that all of our mothers were perfect, but Lord, we're so thankful for these who paid the highest price of selflessness in order to love, in order to care, in order to see you, our Heavenly Father, through Jesus Christ, build into these sons and daughters of all these moms that purpose for which you brought life into this world. Thank you for these fabulous mothers who are standing. And we give this day to them. And most of us owe our life to them, our moms. Thank you. In Jesus' name, we celebrate these. Amen. Mothers have to do a lot of things, have a lot of giftedness, do they not? We've touched on a little bit of that. But let me show you how creative a mother can be. I'm going to show you a clip of a mother getting off a plane. She has a baby she's holding with her right hand. She reaches under the seat to get a little roll on. And then she has to get stuff out from the compartment above the seat. Watch the creativity of this mom very, very carefully. I want to see that again. Show that again. Show that again. She gets it down. She's got the baby. See the baby. Watch this. Does that challenge any moms that are here today? Our scripture is found in the book of Exodus. In Hebrew, the first word in chapter 1 of Exodus is and. All this happened in Genesis, and. And then we move into Exodus. And I want you to notice what's going on, beginning with verse number 8. Now there arose a new king over Egypt who did not know Joseph. Remember the setting. Most of us are familiar with the story. Joseph amazingly became number 2 in Egypt. And then in a time of famine, all of his family, all the children of Jacob and all their children, grandchildren, came over to Egypt. They'd been there for 2 or 3 generations. They were prosperous. The land of Goshen developed rapidly. And look what the situation was here in our scripture. And he said to the people, Pharaoh, look, the people of children are more and mightier than we. Come, let us deal shrewdly with them, lest they multiply. Racism? And it happened in the event of war. War? And they also join our enemies and fight against us. Insurrection. And to go up out of the land. Exile. Therefore, they set taskmasters over them to afflict them with their burdens. Slavery. Verse number 15. Then the king of Egypt spoke to the Hebrew midwives. What did he say? He said, the midwives feared God and did not do as the king of Egypt had commanded. What did he command? When you do your duties as a midwife for the Hebrew women, see them on the birth stools, the rocks in which they use to bring birth, and if it is a son, you shall kill him. Infanticide. To find it, the last verse. So Pharaoh commanded all his people, saying, every son who is born you shall cast into the Nile, the river, and every daughter you shall keep alive. Sound familiar? Those words? We look at ancient Egypt and we say, what a horrific land that is. Infanticide. Child is born, throw him in the river. Can you imagine such paganism? Can you imagine such heartlessness? Can you imagine such racism? Can you imagine such extremity that went on in a land that did not know the Lord God and set about killing and destroying a people? Putting down a people, eliminating a people, stagnating their growth. Can you imagine such a place ever existing on the earth as that? Egypt was a sane and sensible land, ladies and gentlemen, compared to the United States of America. Since 1973, Roe v. Wade was passed. In America, we have seen through abortion, which clearly defined is a child's murder in the womb of the mother. That's what it is. 63 million children have been killed in the place where they should be safer than any other place throughout their life. You say, that's a lot of people. Of all the people who are being slaughtered in Afghanistan, all the people who are now being slaughtered in war, take all of this number and all of those who are victim of genocide in Nazi Germany, Adolf Hitler, all the people that Joseph Stalin murdered, all the people that Mao in China murdered through genocide, and add them to everything that's happening in Ukraine today, and 63 million that we have legally murdered in the mother's womb is a greater number than all of them added together. Before I get into Roe v. Wade a little further, let me say something parenthetically over here to those females who probably at an early age, not understanding the ramification of pregnancy in life, had an abortion. By way of confession and witness, when I married, I was a virgin. Even back in those antique days, I was not sort of one of the guys. That's a fact. Now, but if a girl, when say 14 or 15, had gotten pregnant, whether I was a part or not, and that girl would have come to me and asked for advice, and if at that time, which it wasn't, it was legal and reasonably safe to keep from that life being disrupted, a Christian, quote, Christian, end quote, in that area of immaturity would have advocated abortion. That's my confession. So let me say that a lot of young people have given up the life of a child, an unwanted, an unexpected, undesired pregnancy, and they did not know what most of us know today, and they did not have the maturity to understand the sacredness of life. God forgives, God cleanses, and that was a mistake of the past. Let me say that without thinking I'm standing up here as some super pious clergyman pronouncing judgment of those who, at a young age, made a tragic mistake as far as God is concerned and as far as life is concerned, okay? And I will show you what's happened today in our world. We know there has been supposedly a leak from the Supreme Court that evidently a ruling will come down which Roe v. Wade will be overturned. Now, a lot of the talking heads say, and it's tragic, and I hopefully will find out the source of that, but as someone who is on the side 100% of life, I am thrilled and pray that will become a reality. Unapologetically. In the process of this, a group called CURE, in cooperation with the CDC, in cooperation with the African American Pro-Life Group, they have presented a paper to Congress in this whole area of abortion, which is mind-boggling to me and is heartbreaking to all who know God and believe in the sacredness of life. Let me give you an overview of what has been revealed. Out of the 63 million abortions, African American mothers number about 7% of the mothers in America. 40% of those abortions, 19 million, have been African American children in the mother's womb. Do you realize what that means? It means that there has been a hidden racism operating in America to suppress a whole racial group of people. And it has been carried out under the banner of civil rights, as if it is a civil right for any mother, oh, I can own my own body, to do what they want with that unborn child. Let me tell you something. In another way, that's exactly what the Dred Scott case did. You know the Dred Scott case? It's when the Supreme Court said to the plantation owners, you own your slave, and the Dred Scott case instituted slavery as a legal stance in America. And they said to those slave owners, you can do anything you want to with that which you own. It's the same godless argument you hear today that women make. Well, you can do anything you want to with that life that is within you. Ladies and gentlemen, let me remind you of something. Life then and life now is sacred. It belongs to God. And when conception takes place, it no longer is under our auspices. Of those 20 million, was there another Martin Luther King killed? Was there another Thomas Sowell killed? Was there someone there who could have led us out of the bondage we find ourselves in as Americans today? Was there someone there who could have made such radical difference in medicine, in research, in the political area? There's 20 million. You know how many people 20 million? 20 million is roughly the population of the state of New York. Killed before the life left the mother's womb. By the way, you may not know this, the most populous nation in the United States is California, and you knew that, about 39 million. The second most populous state in America today is the state of Texas. We have about 28 to 29 million. The third is Florida, with about 21 to 22 million, and New York falls into 20 to 19 million category. But the whole state of New York would be filled by these murdered children. Planned Parenthood, oh, it's a great title. You know who founded it? Margaret Sanger. She is the philosopher of eugenics. What is eugenics? It is the fact that you suppress different races. That's what Hitler did with the Jews, suppress an unwanted group people. And that's exactly what has happened today to a whole fabulously gifted group of people who are part of our America. It's heartbreaking to me. You say, well, I don't like to hear about that. We can't do anything about anything till we know what the problem is. And what you have here, who is funding all of this? I looked it up. Carnegie? Ford? Oh, Gates? Oh, who is forwarding this? Oh, we've got all of those. Right there in most of the black congressional caucus, the President of the United States, Jesse Jackson, they're all paid in this through Planned Parenthood. Where is Planned Parenthood located in America? Right up next to the minority areas. It is the hidden racism since 1973 in America, and it is a tragedy and a sin against God, and it's on the conscience of our nation. I didn't want to say this. Very hurtful for me because I'm a patriot. I love this land. But in the light of where we are, I don't believe Germany would have voted, I don't believe it, to exterminate those Jews. I don't believe they would have voted to do it. I don't think Russia even would have voted for the mass murder and extermination of so many in Russia. I even don't think China in Mao's days would have approved the massive genocide that he participated. I don't think that. But in America, we have done it legally under our law, and we have done it was something the other areas of the world did not have, basically, and that's the Bible and the sacred of life that we're called as members of the family of God as Christians. We knew more. And the great tragedy is that we think we can vote and decide about life. We hold these truths to be self-evident, that all men are created equal under God by those inalienable rights. What are the inalienable rights? Or some say unalienable rights. It's a word that transitions there. It's the basic rights of humanity given by God. And the first one is life. And without life, you do not have anything else.
You've been listening to The Winning Walk with Dr. Ed Young. We hope today's message has encouraged you, and we love to encourage you as you fight in the battle for our culture by sending you Dr. Young's CD series, Culture Clash. The Bible gives you the foundation you need to wisely and lovingly engage culture that's darkening right before our eyes. This 7-part series will equip you to shine a light for truth in these dark days as you confront the evils in our culture and extend God's love to those who are hurt and broken by sin. So call now to request your copy of Culture Clash as our thanks for your gift to reach more people with the proven truth of God's Word. Call us at 1-800-350-WALK, 1-800-350-9255. Thanks for being with us today. Come back tomorrow for the conclusion of Dr. Young's message and hear the story of 5 brave women who risked their lives to save baby Moses.
You are listening to WWBC, COCO, Merritt Island, 1510 AM, as well as W234BI, COCO, Rockledge, 94.7 FM, W264AS, Rockledge, Melbourne, Palm Bay, Indian Atlantic, Indian Harbor Beach, Satellite Beach, 100.7 FM, and W260CL, COCO, 99.9 FM.
Satan's work of deception is to steer you away from the truth.
Dr. Tony Evans says there's good reason Satan is referred to as the father of lies.
He knows God can't partner with a lie. So he knows if he can get you away from the truth, he gets you away from God.
This is The Alternative with Dr. Tony Evans, author, speaker, senior pastor of Oak Cliff Bible Fellowship in Dallas, Texas, and president of The Urban Alternative. In the classic 1939 musical fantasy, The Wizard of Oz, Dorothy and friends are told to pay no attention to the man behind the curtain. But Dorothy's little dog Toto has pulled back the curtain to reveal the great and powerful Oz is nothing but an illusion. Well, likewise, Satan attempts to keep the world from God's truth. But today, Dr. Evans pulls back the curtain to reveal the enemy's truths are just an illusion. They're lies dressed up to distract us from God.
The abandonment of truth is wreaking havoc in our world as people abandon the truth in order to pursue a lie that feels like the truth. Truth has an enemy. We're told this in John chapter 8. Jesus says in verse 43, "Why do you not understand what I am saying? It is because you cannot hear my word. You are of your father, the devil. You want to do the desires of your father. He was a murderer from the beginning and does not stand in the truth because there is no truth in him." When God created man, he created Adam. And he created Adam and gave him the well-known instruction in Genesis 2, verse 16. "But the Lord commanded the man, saying, from any tree of the garden you may freely eat, but from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil you may not eat it, for the day that you eat from it, you will surely die." You start with me. In chapter 3, Satan shows up. He begins his deception by raising a question about the integrity of God. Does God really know what he's talking about? Is God really informed? Does God really have all the information? Does God really understand you? Can God really figure you out? He goes on to say, not only should you question God, God is lying. You ain't gonna die. God is gaming you, girl. And it's not gonna be all that. Satan's work of deception is to steer you away from the truth. Why does he want that? Because he knows God is truth. We saw that when we saw it. He knows God is truth. He knows God can't partner with a lie. So he knows if he can get you away from the truth, he gets you away from God. So the reason why we're not seeing God help us more is because we've been drawn away from the truth by the enemy of the truth, who's got us feeling good about a lie. So she eats of the fruit. Adam eats of the fruit, and they lose fellowship with God because they're removed from the garden. When this happens, their whole world collapses. So Satan wants to steer you and me away from the truth so that he can control the agenda of our lives. 2 Corinthians 11, Paul says this. He says, "But I am afraid," verse 3, "that as the serpent deceived Eve by his craftiness, your minds will be led astray." Notice, your minds will be led astray from the simplicity and purity of devotion to Christ. Then he goes on and he says, "For such men," verse 13, "are false apostles, deceitful workers, disguising themselves as apostles of Christ. No wonder, for even Satan disguises himself as an angel of light. Therefore, it is not surprising if his servants also disguise themselves as servants of righteousness, whose end will be according to their deeds." He says, just like Satan messed with Eve's mind, the apostles of Satan mess with our minds. That's how you get cults. That's how you get people who mess with people's thinking, even if it's not in that sophisticated a way, to draw them away from the truth. We've got public schools drawing kids away from the truth by permission of their parents. And that makes parents false apostles. Because you're allowing your child, you're not critiquing it, you're not questioning it, you're not rejecting it, you're just going along with it. That makes you a tool of Satan for the destruction of your child. We've got racial leaders that are destroying people racially because they take a legitimate subject, the subject of race, and they so convolute it with lies that it keeps things in conflict because we're missing the truth. You start with the truth, you're not contaminated with lies. Our relationships are contaminated with lies. A lie about what a man is supposed to be. A lie about what a woman is supposed to be. A lie about what a marriage is supposed to be. And we get duped in our minds with sympathy that deludes the truth. He says, that's what the apostles of Satan do. And he says, don't look for Satan in a red jumpsuit, a pitchfork, and horns. He says he disguises himself. He dresses the part. He looks the part, sounds the part, works the part. Now, he wants to draw you from the truth so that you don't have access to God. That's his goal. And why does he want to get you away from the truth? Let me tell you something that you need to know about you and me and us. Psalm 139, verse 16. Your eyes have seen my unformed substance. That's God creating life in the womb, by the way. And in your book were all written the days that were ordained for me, when as yet there was not one of them. Number one, that verse cancels out abortion. You were aware of me when I was in the womb. And what was in the womb? Me. That's personhood. But notice what else he said about you, about me. There's a book. There's a book. With all your ordained days. Let me tell you what that means. God has written out his program and purpose for your life. It's written in a book. You've got your own book with your own name on it. And that book with your name is designed to fulfill the ordained purpose of God for your life. That's your book. It's not my book. I got my book. You got your book. So what Satan wants to do is remove you from the truth so that you don't fulfill your book, so that the purposed plan of God for your book is not realized because you and I wandered from the truth. We discarded the truth partially or fully, and we're duped by the deception of Satan. And so this is what he does. Second John, which only has one chapter, verse 7, talks about the deceivers that want to get you away. First Corinthians chapter 10, verses 20 to 22 says that there's a communion table, but then he says there's a table of demons. See, some folk come to church on Sunday and have communion with the Lord, go back on Monday and have communion with demons. Because they leave church and go back to the lie. And when you go back to the lie, you've gone back to the devil's territory and you're supporting his kingdom. You say, I didn't vote to support his kingdom. You don't have to vote to support his kingdom. All you got to do is go with his lie and you're in his kingdom. That is, you are supporting his kingdom, even though you don't belong to his kingdom if you are a believer.
Dr. Evans will have more insights for us in just a moment. First, though, you can dig even deeper into today's subject with the help of Tony's brand new book, Kingdom Values. It'll help you put what you're learning about God's truth to work as you build a more Christ-centered character. Rather than conform to our crumbling culture, you'll learn how to develop integrity, authenticity, compassion, accountability, and more. Discover how to experience real change, not just for yourself, but for the people you care about and influence. Contact us today and let us send you a copy of Kingdom Values. It's yours when you make a contribution to help us keep The Alternative coming your way each day. But that's just the beginning. Along with the book, you'll also get all 8 full-length messages in Tony's current series, Returning to the Truth. You can get the details and make the arrangements instantly at tonyevans.org or call our 24-hour resource center at 1-800-800-3222 and let one of our team members help you. Again, that's 1-800-800-3222. Well, Dr. Evans will come back with more of today's message right after this.
Are you hungry for more of God, more of His truth, more of His power, and more of His wisdom applied in your life? Then you need to connect with a community of passionate believers who are growing in God's Word through the Tony Evans Training Center. With exclusive video and audio teaching from Dr. Tony Evans, this interactive online study experience allows you to explore theology, biblical history, and real-life application of the Kingdom Agenda anytime, anywhere. Visit TonyEvansTraining.org to get started today. That's TonyEvansTraining.org.
2 boys kept stealing watermelons. And the farmer got tired of these watermelons being stolen. He said, he put up a sign. He says, "One of these watermelons is poisonous." So he said he got them now because they don't know which one, so they can't be stealing unless they steal the poison one. He felt good about himself. Came out the next day, there was another sign. It said, 2 of these watermelons are poisonous. Now the farmer lost his whole crop. See, you can't outwit Satan. He's been doing this too long. He is the accuser of the brethren, and since angels don't need sleep, it says it's day and night. So this is a 24-hour courtroom scene. So now come out of the spiritual realm for a moment and think about court. You're in court now because this is legal. His goal in court is to bring judgment, condemnation, or keep God from intervening in your prayers, intervening in your circumstances, intervening in your challenges. So that's the scene, verse 11. And they overcame him. Satan is the accuser, but he can be overcome concerning his accusations. Okay? The Bible says about Jesus Christ in John chapter 2, verse 2, but we have an advocate. We got a defense attorney. And I like it. It says, we have an advocate with the Father. And I like that. I like knowing that my advocate is the judge's son. So I got a little family thing working for me. Jesus Christ, the righteous. They overcame him. The word overcome is used of both a state and a standing. A state meaning a legal position and a practical ramification. So legally, we are overcomers. It's like saying, legally, I am married. Legally, you are married if you are married, okay? And that's a legal status. But we also know you can be legally married and personally miserable. So just because you have a legal status don't mean that you have a positive standing. Because you could be legal status, but in perpetual conflict. When the defense attorney enters the room, he has the right to overcome the lawsuit that has been against you, that's breaking you with fellowship with God so that your book is not lived out in completion. But he can be beaten in court. And in this courtroom, there are 3 things that beat him in conclusion. He says in verse 11, they overcame him because of the blood of the Lamb. the blood of Jesus Christ, that is, his sacrificial death on the cross, is not a 2,000-year-old event only. We believe in a cross, not a crucifix. A crucifix is a cross with somebody still on it. Our Savior is no longer on the cross. The cross is a historical event with practical, contemporary relevance. The Constitution was written many years ago. It's relevant today. You claim, I know my rights. You claim what was written then for what it can do now. The cross took place then, but it can get some stuff done now. When you appeal to the sacrifice of Jesus Christ, there's no better time to do that than communion. When you appeal to his cross, which paid the penalty for your sin, what you're saying to the accuser, that accusation has already been covered. That accusation, real as it is, has already right now been paid for. You are appealing to something back then for its relevancy today. The second thing that will win you in the courtroom, he says, is the word of their testimony. The word testimony is a legal term. In court, you testify. It is a legal term, meaning that you are giving judicial witness. Not based on what you see, follow me here, but based on what God says. And see, some of us need to learn to have a Bible study with the devil. See, if you only have Bible studies with Christians, you ain't using it. Remember when Jesus was tempted in the wilderness and he had a Bible study with the devil? He told the devil, "It is written, it is written, it is written." Now, you can't have a Bible study if you don't know what's in the Bible. See, what you have to understand is Satan is allergic to Scripture. He has an allergy. You hit him with the word, he goes, he's allergic to Scripture because he cannot handle God's word. He can handle your word, and he loves to hear you say, "I think," and "I feel," because that word has absolutely no authority in his court. But when you bring his word, the word of that testimony, that is, you give testimony. When the 12 spies went in, what happened? 12 spies, 10 came back and said, "We can't beat them." Caleb came back and said, yeah, but God told us to go in there because we could beat them. See, majority not always right. What God says must be more important than what you see. They said, "There are giants in the land." Caleb said, "But what did God say?" "I see, but what did he say?" Because that's evidence in this courtroom. It is the word of your testimony, and that testimony is the testimony of God's truth. Finally, he says, "And they did not love their life even when faced with death." That means that they were fully committed, fully surrendered. They were not casual Christians, part-time saints. Jesus has a huge fan club. He's looking for some followers. He got a fan club, and every Sunday, folk gathered in the stadiums because they want to see Jesus on Sunday. But all the fans are in the stands. Jesus is looking for somebody getting on the field. They did not love their life even to death. It meant they were fully surrendered, fully committed. They weren't part-time Christians. They were all in. We all fall short. We all fail. But we have an advocate, a lawyer. And he knows how to handle the courtroom. When you appeal to the blood, when there's the word of your testimony, and you give judicial witness to God's truth, when you are all in, case dismissed. Case dismissed. And Professional wrestling. Who watches professional wrestling? Lord have mercy on y'all. So let me help you out. Those matches are pre-scripted. Just in case you ain't know that. No. Before they ever enter the ring, the winner has already been predetermined. When they enter the ring, they are fighting, they are going at it, but they're not fighting to see who's going to win. They're fighting because they know that folks like you watching it. They are not fighting for victory, they're fighting from victory. Because victory has already been decided before they ever get in. But for the entertainment value, they go through the real battles. I am not suggesting that there won't be battles with the devil. I am not suggesting that Satan's not going to come after you if you become a person of the truth. I am not suggesting that you won't get bloodied, thrown down, thrown against the ring, punched, flipped, grabbed, and abused. I am not suggesting that. What I am suggesting is victory has already been predetermined, and that you will come out more than a conqueror in Jesus Christ, who loved you and gave himself for you.
Dr. Tony Evans with encouraging words on fighting from victory when we take the field with Jesus. Before we go today, I want to remind you that what you've been hearing is part of a brand new sermon collection called Returning to the Truth. As always, the full-length versions of all 8 messages are available to review again or to share with a friend or family member. Best of all, we're making them available for a limited time as our gift when you make a contribution toward Tony's ministry. Along with them, we'll include the just-released book I told you about earlier in the program, Kingdom Values, and our thanks for making this ministry possible. This special offer is only available for a limited time, so don't miss your chance to build your character and strengthen your spiritual foundation. All the details are waiting for you at tonyevans.org, where you'll find hundreds of books, CDs, DVDs, Bible studies, and more, most of which are marked down 41% right now as we celebrate our 41st year in ministry. Don't wait. These special offers won't last long. Again, that's tonyevans.org, or get some in-person help from someone in our resource center by calling 1-800-800-3222. It's open 24/7. Again, that's 1-800-800-3222. Although none of us wants to be lied to, the truth is sometimes painful to hear. Tomorrow, Dr. Evans will explain that Christians have an obligation to share the truth, but to do so in a way that builds up rather than tears down. I hope you'll join us. The Alternative with Dr. Tony Evans is brought to you by The Urban Alternative and is made possible by the generous contributions of listeners like you.
You are listening to WWBC, COCO, Merritt Island, 1510 AM, as well as W234BI, COCO, Rockledge, 94.7 FM, W264AS, Rockledge, Melbourne, Pompeii, Indian Atlantic, Indian Harbor Beach, Satellite Beach, 100.7 FM, and W260CL, COCO, 99.9 FM.
Men who help share the responsibilities in the home live much longer lives than those who don't. At least that's the way it works with wasps. Can it help human fathers too? The answer on today's Creation Moment. And now our Creation Moment's host, Paul Taylor.
Wasp colonies in temperate zones usually wait until the end of summer to raise male young. That's because male wasps are typically useless consumers of food. They don't do anything worthwhile in the nest, nor do they help gather resources. Female paper wasps often practice what experts call male stuffing. When food is brought into the nest, a job carried out by females, other females will stuff their brothers headfirst into the unused nest cells. In the typical nest, males have a short life. The first exception to this pattern was recently discovered in Costa Rica. Researchers from the University of Washington in Seattle have discovered a species of wasp in which the males are not only in charge, but also help out in the nest. The female wasps still gather the food, but the males demand and get all they want, even from the queen. But the males were also observed fanning an overheated nest to cool it. That helped remove water during a flood, and they helped take care of the larvae. The males of this species remain with their parent colony for an unusually long time for wasps. Yet, at any time, they can father a new colony. Other tropical species are now being studied to see if this behavior is unique. The Bible teaches that proper authority is respected when it comes from a spirit of servanthood. This pattern seems to extend even to wasps. Modern human culture needs to be reminded of the principle that when males pitch in and help, their leadership will be appreciated and followed.
Visit us online at creationmoments.com, where you'll find thousands of free biblical creation resources, articles, radio show transcripts, videos, and much more.
If you're a woman, you more than likely have a never-ending to-do list and a demanding job in or out of the home, and a family that needs you. Energy, peace, and purpose are sought-after treasures. And if you're a woman 35 to 55, you more than likely have a body that's behaving oh so differently than it once did. Hi, I'm Pam Smith with a tip for living well. More than 20 million baby boomers are in the midst of hormones going haywire, marching right up to menopause. There are those unpredictable moods, restless nights, bouncing energy levels, expanding waistlines, fuzzy thinking, and those hot flashes. If you're seeing the signs yourself, know this. You don't have to live with unbearable symptoms, nor see hormone replacement therapy as a necessity. With the right self-care, strategic eating, exercise, rest, and treating yourself well, you can take charge of your change. For tips, visit me at PamSmith.com. I'm Pam Smith.